Good morning, everybody. This is Scott Mitchell with our. We've been looking through other sites called Let the Bible Speak. There are several of them out there, but as I told Shannon this morning, none of them quite compare with this show. And so I'm going to say that just to remain positive. Welcome everyone to the show this morning, and appreciate you being here. As I posted on the site, we had a request from a coworker to talk about forgiveness today, and especially when maybe it seems like the person isn't doing a whole lot to try to be forgiven, and we still have that responsibility to other people. But before we get into that too much, I want to go over a couple things. As far as contact information, I don't know if the number, does the number show up frontwards or backwards with your camera?
Frontwards.
All right, good, because if the iPad flips it, so you got to read the number backwards. I got the number on the table here for the radio station. 812-365-9864 will be up throughout the show. You can also call my cell phone at 812-620-4034 if you want to do that now or later or whenever that comes up. You can also, we have a website that a guy named Theron Hall, as you all are aware if you've been here before, has set up. It's called letthebiblespeak.faith. You can go there and listen to past shows or get this show. All the shows that we've done, I think this is show 51, are all loaded on that website. I'm here today with a gentleman named Shannon Schaefer, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. He's been here before. He's a frequent flyer. But if you don't know who he is, he can share a little bit of his background and what he's got going on, and then we can go from there. So, Shannon, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, thanks for having me on. You know who I am. I'm Shannon. Just here by invitation, and glad to help out any way we can. And I guess I feel like I know something about forgiveness because I've been forgiven of plenty, and it's always goes in the other direction. It's more of a challenge when it's on your end to be the one forgiving someone else. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking we'll have a good discussion.
I think
that.
We will too. It's kind of interesting, you know. It seems like I've got to say this to people more than they ever need to say it to me. But you know, maybe it's just me and my personality. I don't know. But I know it's interesting when people do not treat you well, and you expect them to treat you well, and they don't. And yet, we have, as Christians, we have this responsibility to forgive people, and it can be a challenge. But I'm not going to get into right away the fact that it's a non-negotiable with God. But it's something that we've all got to keep working on, like everything else. You know, if we're trying to be right and really sincere about becoming what God wants us to be, we'll keep working on this. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be perfect about everything.
Yeah.
I hope.
Sure.
Because if we do, I'm in trouble.
Well, it's one of those things you grow in, mm-hmm. and you learn to do. And I think with maturity, spiritual maturity, you learn to do it better. Mm-hmm. Over the years, you learn how to, I guess, deal with yourself better, mm-hmm. for one, and learn how to deal with people. And some of that is just a process of growing.
Yeah, and some of, you know, changing perspective a little bit and becoming more involved in what. If we're busy about God's work, we lose interest in some of these other things. And we'll talk about that as well as we go. When I was talking to my wife last night, and I owe my wife an apology this morning too. I left barking dogs outside and this morning way too early, so I apologize for that. We'll cover that topic later, but this is a show about forgiveness, so hopefully that'll
fit in. So you
gotta
forgive him for that.
Maybe not. One of the basics that I just asked Tina last night, Tina's being my wife, that is, I said, what do you say about forgiveness? And she had this thing she had talked about before, and she said, we hold on to bitterness thinking we're hurting the other person when we're really just poisoning ourselves. And I thought that was really interesting that and there's a verse in Ephesians we'll go to in a minute to talk about that. But when we hold on to bitterness and we choose to stay angry at people and we choose to kind of hold those things against them, that person probably doesn't even know, but it's eating us alive.
Right.
And I know, I deal, with family, coworkers, People, sometimes people let us down and we expect more out of them, and so we sometimes hold on to those grudges and hold on to those things, and it bothers us much more than it does the other person. I mean, sure. have you run across that? I mean, you've been preaching a long time, lived a short life, but you know, have you found that to be the case with people you've dealt with?
Sure.
That they tend to hold on to.
The person I've dealt with the most is me.
Yeah.
And learning how to do that, and again, you're going to eat yourself up about it and over. I am probably just by virtue of, I guess, personality in some ways of just, I have always wanted to have a good relationship with people I've been connected with.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like something has not gone well, I will think about it a lot. And it will bother me a lot, I guess, in a lot of ways. And at some point, you just have to realize either, I've got a couple of options. Either one, I can go and seek to sit down and talk to that person and resolve that with them, and that will help. Or I just, I may not have that opportunity. I just may not be given that opportunity to talk with that person about it. And I just may have to offer the forgiveness and give forgiveness, and I'll have to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Think about more profitable things that will help me better, and just seek to do what's right.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, if you've got your Bibles, you want to open them, this would be a good time to do that. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, I thought we'd let the Bible speak on this matter. It almost says exactly verbatim what we've been talking about. It says, let all bitterness, and this, by the way, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you've got a New King James, it may sound a little bit, but it'll be primarily the same thing. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And that idea of holding on to this bitterness is just not healthy. It's almost, we talked about grief last week, and if we don't deal, you know, Matt's advice is bottle it up and don't deal with it, kind of thing. Which, he was a joke, but when we do that, and we all do that sometimes, it comes out.
Sure.
If we are holding on to bitterness, it comes out. It may be through behavior. It could be a health issue. It could be attitudes toward things. It could be, you know, we just through sarcasm or something else. It's going to come out if we hold on to these things. It becomes part of who we are. And, you know, people say things sometimes as well. I don't know where that came from. Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what is in you is going to come out in one shape, form, or fashion. So we've got to be aware of that and try to work with those things.
Sure. When Paul says there to let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander, that's almost a escalating scale. You get hurt by something, and you start thinking about it, you mull it over, and turn it over in your mind, and you get some bitterness inside. The more you think about it, the more bitter you get.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get bitter about it long enough, it's going to bring some wrath out, and eventually that wrath is going to be anger, and then clamor comes out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start talking about it or telling others about it, or you're going to let them have it about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing earlier in this chapter, Paul has been talking about to Christians in Ephesus about the old man putting off that old way of life and putting on the new way of life in Christ, the old man and the new man. And in verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil, and give the devil no opportunity, or give no opportunity to the devil. Paul doesn't say it's sin to be angry. Mm-hmm. Something may hurt you and upset you, and you're angry about it. It's from that point, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to deal with it? Now, if I deal with it, give the devil the opportunity to sit and leave it in my thoughts and continue to work it over and work it over and continue to get more and more bitter and angry and wrathful and then just explode about it and then go around telling every slander. It's one of the words I don't think I mentioned in verse 31. Slander is, then I'm just going to go around, I'm going to tell everybody about what a terrible person that person is.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that ends up being good for me, nor the relationship or the other person.
You know, and Satan is going to use these things. Whether we think we're Christians or not, or whether we accept his existence or not, or whatever, when we have these things in our lives, he's going to use them to explode situations.
Yeah.
And use these things against us. It's just one of the things he does.
And it doesn't have to be a big thing. These things, you know, sometimes, again, a offense or slight or something someone does and I take great offense at, someone may just, they may not even realize they've done that.
Yep.
They may not realize it offended and upset me. If the question starts from that point, well, okay, what am I going to do with that? How am I going to deal with that?
And, you know, and sometimes it's very obvious that people are doing things on purpose. When you work with somebody who won't speak to you in the hallway or won't acknowledge you, or, you know, those sort of things, that those are purposeful things. Now, what I've had to do and with those situations, you know, like you, I have a choice. Do I let that eat me alive, or do I just go on about my life and let them be what they're going to be? And that's hard sometimes.
It is.
And sometimes you want to do something. Sometimes you want to react. But I really, what I've decided, I don't have time. Now, I've got other things I've got to be worried about, and I'm going to treat that person to the very best of my ability, which is something else is that my wife said something. Sometimes we have to do the right things and treat people in the right way, and time will heal some wounds.
Sure.
Whether that person ever comes around or not, we have to do the right thing, and we'll talk about that again. If we want God to forgive us, which in John 1, well, 1 John, a lot of places talk about this, we have to be forgiving other people. And that's a whole lot bigger scenario than what happens at work, what happens on the road, what happens at McDonald's or Walmart checking, or whatever. It's eternal. Eternity is a really big subject and something we have to think about. What is our real goal here? If we're holding on to bitterness and anger and we're upset about it, what is our real goal?
Sure.
Why are we, you know, that? Yeah. Go ahead, bud.
No, I just, one of the things to note about Paul giving this, here's the old life, here's the way we used to live, here's the way the Lord wants you to live. It's easy to say, don't be angry, don't be bitter, don't be unforgiving. Okay, well, what do I do with that? Well, Paul says, here's how you deal with it. Verse 32, if you remove the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the clamor, and slander, if you put away from you with all, along with all malice, what do I put in place of that? Well, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The principle in Ephesians 4 is the same principle groups for, I guess, healing certain even addictions, healing certain aspects of persons' lives. It's one thing to say, well, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Okay, I've stopped doing that, but I can't seem to stay away from it. Well, I've stopped being, I think I've stopped being angry and unforgiving, but it's just not stopped. Well, it's because maybe it's because I've not put anything in the good matter in place of that. I've not learned or made myself be kind to the person that I'm unforgiving towards. I've not been tender-hearted and then forgiving that person. Because the best reason for me to do that at the end of verse 32 is I have been forgiven as God in Christ forgave you. I have been forgiven so much that there is no good reason that I really have to hold on to a grudge and an unforgiving spirit towards someone else.
What if Jesus had only forgiven those people that deserved it? Let's take that list.
Yeah. Well,
how long would that list be?
Oh, that's a big list. and you even remove, you know, we understand there were seven sayings that Jesus made on the cross. You take one of those, that's a huge saying for Jesus to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Maybe we should say the same thing sometimes about persons who have, maybe they've done something against us, and maybe they don't even realize. And maybe I just need to have the type of spirit that says, Father, forgive them. I don't think they knew how bad that hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew how that sounded and how that affected me.
Yeah. And so, I've heard people say too, if you pray for somebody, it's hard to hold a grudge. Have you found that to be, you know, if you sit down and really sincerely pray for somebody's soul, and that they be forgiven and that they be helped, do you find that it makes it easier to not be angry at somebody?
Sure. I've had to do that.
Yeah.
You have to use that.
Yeah.
It's a tool to, not just a tool, but that makes an effective opportunity for me to forgive.
In this life, things are just going to happen. I mean, people are just going to do things. I mean, even people that we trust and that we love and that we respect, they're still people. And some there where things are just going to happen. We're going to have to decide how we're going to deal with those things. Another thing that has helped our family in different situations is I heard somebody say in a talk one time, you have to assume that the person you're dealing with did the best they could with what they had. And maybe the person that you're really upset about maybe is a little bit broken inside. Maybe they don't really know. Maybe they can't see what they're doing. Maybe they don't have that perceptive ability right now to be able to see that. And we have to assume that they're using their tools the best they can and just accept that. Because we can't control them. We can't make them change. And that has really helped us in terms of dealing with situations and getting rid of some long held on to anger, frustration, those kind of things. Just say, you know what, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Just assume the best and move on.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the only thing we have to hold on to. But anyway, I don't know if you've got anything to say about that or not, but that's just something we talked about last night on the couch as we were discussing this topic. So, Mark 11, let me go over there.
Okay.
I was just looking at that. I thought I'm going to go ahead and use that verse. Mark 11, let me get there. I've got 25, but let me check context. Let's just start in verse 24. It says in Mark 11, verse 24, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. So that kind of idea of, you know, I'm standing praying for this person. Let's let this thing go. What if it's a daily thing? What if you've got to see this person or these people on a daily basis? What if it's daily, a daily reminder that there's this persistent problem of I got to see this person every day, mm-hmm. and I've got this. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you've got a family member maybe a state away or even an hour away. You know, see them every, what if you got to see them every day? What do you do about that?
Well, that makes a bigger challenge mm-hmm. for us. Brings it up to our minds and brings it up in our lives
mm-hmm.
every day. We've got to come up with some, I guess maybe some tools to learn how mm-hmm. to deal with. If we always, and maybe one of the keys to that is to think that if it is unforgiveness I'm dealing with, I'm not forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
To realize that is something that I need to be looking at myself rather than thinking, well, you know, if they would do the right thing, then I could forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they'd come and apologize or ask for my forgiveness, then forgiveness could happen. But really, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us, it encourages for good relationships, for people, a brother, to go talk to a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 18 is one of those places that talks about that. But nowhere does it say, you know, someone has to ask for your forgiveness, and if they don't, nowhere does the Lord say, well, then you don't have to forgive.
Just hold a grudge.
You get to hold the grudge. You get to be angry and unforgiving. It never tells us they have to ask for it for in order for you to give it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe sometimes that's the concept we've gotten.
Yeah, I think it is. Again, if God only forgave those who deserved forgiveness, we'd all be in bad shape.
Sure.
And so our example is always Jesus. And John, and that it's one of those things when I was teaching at Al Bethel, we went through the book of John. And John 13 is where Jesus washes the feet. But in that same chapter, in 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you learn to love like I've loved you. And that's something I've got to work on. I don't always look at people and think that is one of God's creation. And I owe them a certain amount of, I don't have to like them necessarily. They may be hard to like, but they're still God's. and I owe them a certain amount of respect just because they exist, because of what God's done for me.
Sure.
And there's always, as long as there, I keep, you know, as long as there's breath, there's hope.
Oh yeah.
And so we can't just say, you know, well, they're not worth it. Well, they are worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that. But that goes back to this. We mentioned looking at things from a different perspective and changing our mindset. We were talking about in Wednesday night Bible class. I talked for Tim and talking about the temple and the image of how that foreshadowed things to come and how we're the temple now and all this sort of thing and what we ought to be as God's temple. And I switched over to and how the, in the Old Testament the Spirit filled the temple. Well, if you carry that shadow forward, if we become the temple of God, the relationship is right. Well, the Spirit fills us. You know, through the Word, we have the presence of the Spirit in us. So what kind of people ought we to be if that's the case? And you go over to Galatians 5 and then you go to the fruits of the Spirit. And I encourage the kids to make a list of those fruits of the Spirit and start working on them. Where do you think you need to work the most? And if we go look at them before we... In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 2, it says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So if we're concerned about what's going on right here and right now, that's where our focus is going to be. That's where we're going to be spending our time. But look, if you go look at these things in Galatians, and this list of the fruits of the Spirit, and this is how you know whether the Spirit is with you or not. You just look at these things. Do you have these things in your life? That says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruits of the Spirit. Now you can go up to verse 19 and talks about the works of the flesh. That's a different list. We don't need to get into. But if you look at that up there, it just talks about sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, there's sensuality. There's strife, jealousy, anger, dissensions, divisions, envy. And those kind of things up there. Well, what does this unforgiveness cause? Does it cause division?
Yeah.
And can it cause? And so think about that. Then you look at the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, which one of those would not fit this category of forgiving somebody else? So what I've encouraged the kids to do is make the list of those things and say, okay, today what am I going to work on? What do I feel like I'm the weakest? Is it my joys and my love and my kindness? And start working on those. And if we spend our time thinking about that list instead of this list of people we're mad at, I think our time will be better, much better spent.
Sure.
And maybe that's a tool people can use and take these things and start working on removing some of that bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
that we all pack around with us sometimes. So anyway, that's I have no video, but I can see some people that are on here. Do you know a Sally Landreth Schaefer?
Maybe.
Okay, I'm just checking. Anyway, she's on, but I can't see the video, but I can see a list of people who are on here. But anyway, thanks.
As long as Matt can see the video.
Yeah. Mine's just got a black, I got a little worm running my black screen, it won't load. It's probably just my phone. But Karen Galloway's on, Lou Sig, Denise Woolbright, and Sally's on here, and some other people. So anyway, thanks for joining us this morning. If you're just joining us, we're talking about forgiveness. And even forgiving people who make it difficult for us to forgive.
Yeah.
That's kind of the subject. And we've all had to deal with people like that.
Sure.
I don't know what time it is. We're almost top of the hour already.
All right.
So anyway, that idea of maybe shifting our thinking and start trying to be purposeful.
Yeah.
I think I heard somebody say when we're writing, I heard a writing instructor say this, that you need to think about what you're thinking about. I think in life, we need to think about what we're thinking about. If you're sitting around and catch yourself dwelling on something that somebody has done to you, or these bad feelings, maybe you need to shift your thinking.
Yeah.
But
get up and do something else.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah.
And that is a self-awareness. We just got to know, and what are those thoughts? How are those thoughts making us feel? Are they... escalating like that list earlier, you have this bitterness and then it leads to clamor eventually, and it's kind of like that progression of sin, you know. have a thought and it leads finally leads to an action, and maybe that's what we maybe you need to be really aware of what we're thinking about, mm-hmm. so we can change our thinking. We can't dwell on these things because it does become bitterness, and then bitterness becomes, how does the Old Testament talks about it, about bitterness in our bones? We don't want that to eat us alive.
Sure.
You got a verse. Looks like you've turned somewhere.
Romans 12.
Oh, yes.
Paul's talking to the Christians there in Rome and tells them in Romans 12 in verse 16. He says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." If, you know, I was the one who was right. You know, they offended me. They should have never done that. Mm-hmm. We might get pretty wise in our own sight about some things, and then decide it doesn't really matter how I treat them now, because they've already done me bad. Mm-hmm. But Paul says in verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' To the contrary." Now here's where Paul, you know, we think that, well, they've done me wrong, so it doesn't matter if I do them wrong back. But Jesus, from the very beginning of his preaching, talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. And what does he say about if they hit you on one cheek,
turn the other cheek?
Again, easier said than us doing it sometimes, mm-hmm. certainly. But we don't have the opportunity. God didn't give us the ability and the will or the allowance to repay evil. But just give what is you think to what is honorable in the sight of all. Do what the right thing is to do. And in verse 18, though, I think is a fantastic verse, but sometimes causes us some trouble in the way we think about it. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And somebody says, well, I've done all I can do. I've not done anything. I've not tried to do anything nice for them. I've not treated them very well or spoke very kindly to them, but I've done all I can do. It kind of, that leads you, we need to be careful not to think that we have. Makes me think back to you want to say something about that before I turn somewhere else?
Well, I'm just going to this emphasis on the word all here.
Yeah.
We've talked on this show before. What does all mean? I mean,
all there is.
Who does that leave out?
Yeah.
It says live honorable before all.
Yeah.
So regardless of what they're doing, we still, as Christians, as spiritual people, we have an obligation to behave in a certain way toward them because we're God's. And that's something we have to do. Matt, this would be a good time if you want to go ahead and...
We have 2 minutes.
That's right. That clock's off by a minute. Okay, we'll wait then. Can we not do it a minute early?
2 minutes.
By the way, I'll wait till after the... I'm going to mention the gospel meeting and singing a couple times. I'm sure we'll do that in a second. So go ahead to your next verse and we'll...
Okay. It's going to be longer than 2 minutes if I get started.
That's all right.
Okay, so if we think about what Paul said... If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Mm-hmm. That means I've only got to go so far, I'll draw the line, and that's it. Well, I wonder if that's kind of the idea Peter had in Matthew 18. In verse 21, Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Mm-hmm. As many as 7 times? I think Peter probably thought, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
7 times he does me
more
wrong.
Than enough.
And that is surely the Lord's going to say, yeah, that's probably, you've done as much as you can do. That's not what he says. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Okay, let's do the math. I'm not a math person. Never mind about the math. Is that the Lord's point, you know, however many times that is? No, that's not really his point. His point was, think about it, Peter, as many times as you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And... I got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
You listen to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak with WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcast from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
All right. We're in beautiful Marengo this morning. So, Peter, you know, what's the point to Peter? Well, the Lord does his teaching so effectively when he tells a parable or a story. And so he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle one, he was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me. I will pay you everything." You do the math, I guess, again. You figure out how much money that was. He could have never, ever paid that. I could never, ever pay to God or recompense God for all the forgiveness I've been given. And such is the picture here with that servant that falls before the master. Verse 27 says, out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. You think, boy, what a fantastic thing, how thrilled and excited he would have been, and forgiving even of someone else. Verse 28 says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So, sounds very, very similar situation. His friend falls down before him, fellow servant, and wants the mercy and the grace to be forgiven, but he doesn't do it. Verse 32, then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? We need to learn to forgive because we've been forgiven so much.
William Stuckey's on here, and he says, or Aaron Stuckey says, if we cannot forgive, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's kind of what you're talking about, that we have to do this. It's one of those, we mentioned before, one of those non-negotiables we're going to have to keep working on. In Colossians 3, let me see what verses I've got written down on this. I've got a couple different that I've turned. No, Colossians 3:13 just says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Same, and it's just something we have to be aware of, and that we have to just work on.
Yeah.
And be willing to spend some time on. Again, if it's something that's, maybe it's new to you, maybe this idea of I really owe somebody this is kind of new, start working on it. I mean, just start, take those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and start working on those things and start developing this desire to be what God wants you to be. Because without it, Matthew 6, I've got the same content. You know, this is not a negotiable thing for us. So if you want to, that verse in Matthew 6 he just read, go there, write this down, go back and look at that, and then look at what happens there if you're not familiar with the text, and study it and see what really happened. Because it's something that we have to figure out how we're going to work on these things. Also in Luke 17, Luke 17, 3 and 4, and you may have the same ones on your list somewhere too. Just says, pay attention to yourselves. That's thinking about what you're thinking about. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, that same kind of idea, and turns to you 7 times and saying repent, you must forgive him. So even if it's almost seems like they do it and they, hey, forgive me, and do it, and hey, and it's like they're not really trying to correct it, we still have to forgive them. Because we don't have time not to, folks. We have to be spending our energy and our time somewhere else. I've seen people, I sit down and talk to people who the only thing they want to talk about is the thing that's bothering them the most. And it burns up their energy dwelling on something that it just isn't worth our time. God wants better for us. He intends better for us. So carry on. I'm sure you've got more.
Oh, I know just a couple passages. When he talks about, the Lord talks in Matthew 6, he says, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now the principle almost sounds like God will only forgive us as much as we've forgiven someone else. I don't think that's really the concept there. But the concept still is, verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mm-hmm. It's not a one for one, you know, if I forgive this person and God will forgive me one sin. That's not the concept. But if I'm an unforgiving person, God will not allow me to be that way. He'll not allow, and He wants me to learn how to forgive because He has forgiven me of so mm-hmm. much. I mentioned earlier about I may not have control over the situation. I certainly can't control other people. And sometimes there are people that have been in your life, they will have hurt you in some way, and they will never ask for forgiveness. I don't think it's because they don't know. In some cases, other cases, it may be they don't know. And you may have to do as much as you can do, and as much as depends on you, to seek to give that forgiveness. And you know what? There may come a time in life that you just no longer is there an opportunity for you to go talk to them about that or ask for that forgive them to make things right and make that relationship right. But you're just going to have to do the very best you can to allow that not to embitter you and allow yourself to certainly to forgive them.
Yeah. You know, we've talked a little bit about the level that God's forgiven us. I read in Isaiah 43 last night, a verse I kind of had to kind of skimmed over before and hadn't really paid attention to what it really says. And we do that sometimes. But in Isaiah 43, 25 and 26, it says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance, and let us argue together, and set forth your case, that you may be proved right or acquitted. And one of the versions says, make your case for your innocence. Can we ever stand before God and say, you know what, God, I'm just so good that I don't have to worry about this. I don't owe this to these people. I don't think that's going to be very wise to try to do that. And so when God forgives us and we really understand what that means for us, it had better change our perspective. Again, I've conquered this completely. I've got area in my life I need to work on and everything we've ever talked about on this show. So I'm not claiming perfection. I'm just saying we've got to be aware of what we're doing and start working on it. Or we're not going to get anywhere that we want to get with this issue. Anyway, I mean,
if we get just, as I say, sometimes just boil the water out of it, how do you want to be treated?
Mm-hmm.
What I'd really like is I'd like to be forgiven. Even if I've offended someone and maybe I don't realize I have, I'd like for them to treat me well and to maybe, if they need to, for us to sit down and talk about it kindly and with patience and with love. Or I'd like for them just to forgive me for that and continue that.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like a basic concept. Actually, it's a basic concept we hear about on a lot of other areas. Matthew 7:12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to be treated? Treat other people that way.
Yep.
And that that's what it takes to have those kind of that type of relationship that we need to have. And we're giving, we may not think about when you forgive, you are giving something to someone else. You're giving them the opportunity to continue a relationship with you. You're giving a pathway to God to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving to yourself the opportunity to not be set and be bitter and angry and wrathful, and then you're giving yourself other tools, Ephesians 4, of learning how to be those that are going out with that. I'm going to mess it all up if I don't look at it. Have a sit and look at it. If I'm giving myself the opportunity to be kind to someone else. I'm the opportunity to be tenderhearted and to be forgiving mm-hmm. to that person. If I never give that opportunity, then I won't be that type of person.
Yeah. Yeah, you read in Matthew 7:12, 9:7-5.
Okay.
When you think about what we're talking about, It just says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. In terms of spiritual matters, if you're seeking to figure out how to forgive people and you're really sincere about that, God's going to help you.
Yeah.
So ask God to help you.
Yes.
If you want to treat people like you want to be treated, like which is what 12 talk is talking about,
mm-hmm.
then start doing that.
Yeah.
But ask God. I'm not saying it's easy. Ask God to help you.
Sure.
And God will give you the help that you want. That's why He's given us this book to read and know His mind and become part of who He is. Really, not I said that wrong. For us to become what Jesus was. This isn't part of what we are. This isn't Christianity is not any. It's like this one time event or this one week event. It's a life. It's a yeah. lifestyle we live, and it's not part. It is who we are. And if we're going to claim Jesus as our King, we have to start looking like He looks.
Looking like He looks. A lot of times, thinking of some of the things we've already talked about, and I think I preached it either. I did a lesson one time, or I preached it even here in the area. As individuals, you know, we have a conflict with someone, and a lot of times what we want is, and I entitled the lesson, "You Be Jesus First."
Oh, yeah.
You be Jesus. That's what we want, especially even if it's someone else who's a Christian. Well, you be Jesus. You know, you go first. It's almost like, well, you know what adults are, right? We're just 2 and 3 year olds with driver's license.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we are. That, because
you know, there's nothing more hurtful to an eighth grader than telling them to just be fourth graders. Really,
I could imagine that's true.
Yeah.
But we're just, you know, adults are a bunch of big people. You know, 2 and 3 year olds with driver's license, and we want everybody else. You do the right thing first. It's more difficult to do, like James talks about.
Well, they started it, Shannon.
To look in the mirror and say, "Who's the person I see?"
It's not my fault. They started it.
No, I didn't tell Scott this morning, but he's got that big smudge down his face.
Mm-hmm.
He should have looked in the mirror. No, but James says, you know, you're going to have to.
Okay.
Made him nervous now. You need to look at yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, let's talk about forgiveness. Well, I want you to tell me I don't have to forgive. I'd like for somebody to tell me I only have to go so far. How many times a day do I have to forgive them? And we don't have any of those things.
No.
And if we want to treat others, we want others to treat us well, we're going to have to do it first.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know why so many of these things we talk about on the show keep going back to, I keep wanting to go to Romans 12, 1 and Galatians 2, 20. In the book of Romans, and to be at chapter 12, the book kind of shifts from this spiritual, I don't know, people call it different things, from the spiritual focus to more of practical life living things in chapter 12. It starts shifting there. And if you read this, it says, I appeal to you, this is Romans 12 to verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, because everything else has been said, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, if we go by what the world tells us, if somebody does something to us, what does the world tell us to do?
You just hold on to it. You give, you take, and let them have it back.
You wait for your chance, and you get them back. I was coached that way when I played basketball, and I've you know it's like I don't know how when you gonna get them back. Well, if we're gonna be a living sacrifice, let's talk about a second. I know people sometimes think that means you literally carry this burden. This actual wooden cross or whatever, or maybe your spouse you can't stand to live with that. Maybe that's the burden you're supposed to bear. Okay, that's not what this is talking about. What does it mean to, it says, present yourself holy and acceptable to God, this a living sacrifice. What do you think that means in our lives?
Well, it means a sacrifice was something that was consumed,
uh-huh.
was totally burned up in the process of the sacrifice. Your life should be totally consumed with serving God and totally used up for God.
Okay.
And if you use your life for a whole lot of other things, and a lot of things to do with unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, you're not giving to God all of you.
And if we're working on that, where does anger and malice and unforgiveness and jealousy, and where do those things fit into our lives? Or do they fit?
They don't really.
They don't fit. There's no room for them. And that's why we've got to start eliminating those things and working on those things and shrinking those things down and dwelling on these things and swelling these things up so that they dilute all that stuff and get rid of it. And that's why I think Galatians 2 and verse 20, again, is one of those verses that just, maybe it's because of the teaching I've had to do in the last year and a half, I'm not sure. But that starts, well, I'll go over there and look, but it starts, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 20 if you want to. Some of you may know what it says, but it says, I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if we're going to look like Jesus like that, if it's really him living in us through the influence of this word and us changing and eliminating things and diluting the negative and swelling up the positive and keep filling those things in, we're going to look like Jesus. This attitude of unforgiveness cannot be part of what we are. Now, I realize that's easy. Again, it's easier said than done. But we've got to start working on this and start eliminating this attitude and start looking at people and saying, you know what? They can be like that. I don't have time. I've got more important things to dwell on. I've got more important things to spend my energy on. I've got more important things to spend my time on. And it should help us start change. Again, it's just a change in perspective. How do we look at this?
Yeah.
You turn somewhere?
Well, I was just thinking two thoughts. One is, you mentioned basketball.
I'm
watching one of the games at one point. I saw a couple of players. One of them ended up and he clanks down on the arm of the other player, the other team, and then does this kind of fallback, kind of almost fallback pretend thing. And the other guy gets the foul. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Next time down the floor, I think it was the same two guys. The other guy does the same move on him, clanks his arm down and pretends to fall back. I don't remember the call on the other end of the floor if it was exactly the same. But it was just hilarious in a certain sense to watch it, because the other guy just pulled the same move on him in the process. But and so I was thinking just about our life. When we think about us using up, a fire needs fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a wood fire, you've got to keep adding wood to the fire. Someone else has gotten angry. They're fiery angry, I guess you'd say, fiery mad at you. You can keep adding fuel to that fire.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you choose not to, you can put that fire out because you don't add fuel to it. You don't continue to give the fuel in order for that to continue to be a part. And you just don't take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It may be that we just simply don't need to take an unfruitful work and an unfruitful argument and just continue to argue and fuss and be angry about something, because that's what Satan's going to use to just continue to destroy that relationship or destroy those kind of things. And it may be the biggest exposition or exposing of that whole matter may be that I just don't allow myself to be drawn into that. And people that are around will see the conduct of others.
Tara Crothers was on here and said thanks, because she's the one to ask for this show.
Well, good.
But thank you, Tara.
I was hoping, you always wonder, you get a question, you hope we go the direction or hope we give some of the things that's wanted or helpful.
I was flipping back to Psalm 103 to look at something, and I accidentally stopped at Psalm 119, which is, there are countless sermons in Psalm 119.
Yeah.
But what I've got underlined is this: they talk these things about the whole heart, and the beginning of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart." Okay, verse 10: "With my whole heart I seek you; let me not wander from your commandments." Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Those what is it we're really wanting to be and to do? That sounds pretty sincere about God, change my heart, enlarge my heart. There's a verse, I can't remember where it is, it talks about the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Mm-hmm. Really cool wording. Rayetta Woody really likes that verse, and I hope Rayetta's listening this morning. But if we really are looking, if our eyes are looking for ways to do this, God's going to provide a way for us to do this and help us in this, and it's not going to be impossible for us. It may be hard, but it's not impossible. God's not going to ask us to do this if we can't do it. So anyway, I don't know how much, so we got a little bit of time left, but go. I know you've got some things you wanted to talk about too, but in trying to get to Psalm 103, I ran across Psalm 119.
I guess just briefly, I wanted to address kind of, what do you do when you don't feel like you have the opportunity to actually, in a personal discussion and in a personal relationship, to either one, neither being asked for forgiveness. What do you do then if you feel that you're not sure if the person cared or not? You think mm-hmm. they probably did. I know what it's like for a family situation with a father that didn't care much in my family situation and removed himself from my family mm-hmm. and went and had another one. He died last week. I'd spent a lot of years, I hadn't had much contact with him at all, not because I wouldn't, but because he just really didn't seem to care to. I think he should have at some point come and asked for my forgiveness, but if I were to sit and dwell on and embitter myself and have an unforgiveness towards him over the whole matter, I could eat the rest of my life up mm-hmm. with those kind of thoughts. But I honestly do believe that a long time ago I forgave him. Now, I don't mm-hmm. have a moment in time, I told a host of fellows last Thursday night when mm-hmm. I went to the jail and talked to some Bible studies.
He went to the jail to study.
I didn't, but anyway, with some guys. And I just talked to him about that. And I said, you cannot live your life embittered by other people, and you've got to do the things that you need to do. And then I just laid at them, at their feet, the responsibility. I said, if you're a dad, mm-hmm. if you're a father, it is your responsibility to make a relationship with that child. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I guess I kind of got
But when we do that, if we're able to say, you know what, I've forgiven this person, that should bring a peace. It will remove a burden, a dark cloud of this constant worry. It should bring a peace and a tranquility that we just wouldn't have otherwise. You know, when you think about what God has forgiven us for, people might say, well, what does God understand? Has God forgiven people that treated him badly? If we believe, now you may not, if you're listening, maybe you don't believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, maybe we should start there. Call me if you don't, or call Shannon. If you have questions about who Jesus really was. But if we believe the story of Jesus, not the story, if we believe the account of Jesus' life, it's not a story. And him dying on that cross at the hands of people who all they wanted to do was eliminate the evidence and shut him up and mm-hmm. stop him. And God forgave that. And we're supposed to be like God. We don't have time for this. Yeah. I wasn't going to bring that situation up, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Shannon was going to be on the show last week and did not come because of this situation. We were talking about dealing with grief last week, and Tim Modlin came on instead and did a very good job. And I'm glad he was able to be here. But I know this is not a whole lot different. It's not a whole lot further removed from last week's show.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you being willing to come on.
Well, and like we've said. And even like Paul says there in Romans chapter 12, you do as much as you can do. Mm-hmm. I could only make that relationship as much as I could make it,
mm-hmm.
however it was. Because sometimes people are hostile to even having a relationship or hostile to certain things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use that as a lead.
Sure.
Sometimes we live in a whole world
yeah.
that's hostile to yeah. what we believe as Christians. Mm-hmm. And April 14th through 19th, we're going to have a special series of lessons. We have a guest speaker, so you won't have to listen to this fellow.
Nor me.
Johnny Felker is going to come, and he's going to preach a series of lessons about the idea of the Christian in a hostile world, because mm-hmm. people in our world don't believe that really either that you need to forgive, or that you can forgive, or that it'll do you any good to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's one of his topics,
but yeah.
If you feel like you're living in a world that's against what you stand for as serving God, then those may be some helpful lessons mm-hmm. for you.
Yep.
You want to advertise the other?
Well, you know, since I've got it here, towards the we're about out of time anyway, they're also, Gillen Church of Christ in Glen is hosting a singing on April 5th at 7 o'clock. You may not be able to read it, but it's a very colorful flyer. I don't know who made this, but they did a great job. Is that you or Mike?
That's Mike.
Michael, DeMichael W. Stout.
Both of them are great.
Anyway, we'll just be doing some singing, and starting at 7 for probably an hour, maybe not quite 45 minutes or something like that. Just sing praise to God in preparation somewhat for our gospel meeting, but just because we want to do a singing as well. And hopefully somebody can, if y'all are interested in coming, we'd love to have you. I know Eastland and Louisville's having a meeting that same week. It's interesting this time of year. There's lots of things going on.
So if you like Matt, you go to...
Yeah, Matt Modlin, or not, I thought Matt Modlin's wrong guy. Matt Durbin's here from Eastland now. He's doing our sound stuff. We've come to basically the end of our time. So why don't you, I know you just got through speaking, but we've got a lot of material we didn't cover.
Sure.
In an effort to just encourage people to let the Bible speak, how do you want to, if you had one thing to say to people about this, and which is what I said to Tina last night, which the one thing you'd say, and that's when she started with this, we hold on to bitterness, we're just poisoning ourselves, which was, I think, profound. And she kind of said, she goes, I like when you pretend to help you with something, but she helped a lot. But that was really good. So how would you want to end this discussion with somebody if you were talking to someone about this?
I guess I'd go back to Romans 12,
mm-hmm.
verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all.
There you go.
And I think that goes back and grabs on to Jesus' statement in Matthew 7 when he talks about that you treat others the way you want to be treated. It goes back to his concepts there in that same sermon about humility, being just simply a humble servant. It goes back to those idea that you don't, someone slaps you on the cheek, you don't turn around and punch them back.
Mm-hmm.
And that you've got to just do the best thing that you can do. Do what's right, because people are going to see. People are going to know whether your life that you're living really lines up with mm-hmm. and stands up for Christ. I call myself a Christian, but then I treat others and talk about others and go out like Paul talks about. I've allowed this bitterness and anger and slander and clamor to go out, and I slander and talk bad about all these people that I've not forgiven. That doesn't show me to be Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows I've not been a forgiving person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on. Jeff Farmer just got on and said they have a meeting in Salem starting April 7th at Westside. So we'll plug that in, too. Your mama says good job, guys. So thank you all for being on. We love you. We're just trying to do a little bit of good, no harm. And hopefully we've stirred some thoughts. But seriously, if you have questions about the Bible, we'd love to study anytime. We put up, there's a slide at Gleaner that says the Bible studies are available at any time, at any place. Folks, we're serious about that.
Yeah.
I don't care where you are in life. I don't care where you are physically located. If you want to study, we'll get to you.
Yes.
If you don't have a Bible, we'll bring you one. I've got them in my truck to give out. Let us know what you need.
Yeah.
We're not experts. I'm not a theologian. I'm not seminary trained. I've been around a lot of good Bible teachers, and what I know I'm willing to share, and what I can't answer, I'll find somebody that can. But folks, so we beg you, just let the Bible speak. It's God's inspired word. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't need to be taking anything away from it. Just do what it says. Hey, my buddy Will Beeler's on. College buddy from up around Indy.
Wow, how about that?
Thank you, Bill, for sending me a heart. Isn't that sweet?
That's sweet.
He's a sweet guy. Thank you for being on. Shannon, thank you for taking the time. Matt, thanks for being here. And thank all of you for taking the time this morning out of your day to share this hour with us. So, again, let the Bible speak, and God bless you all.